Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock p.m., live in living color around the globe. For those who have tuned in and those who've been following us for now going on a year, this broadcast is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks. We come to you every day from 7 to 9, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and yes, Sunday. 7 days a week, 2 hours a day out of the year. And it gives me great privilege, brothers and sisters, and surely I am ecstatic. I'm honored to be able to do these broadcasts because I understand what it means, barakah, blessings. And we believe blessings only comes from taking care of your wife, taking care of your parents, taking care of your children. How about your siblings? Yes, we believe we will get blessed for that. Surely Allah will smile upon you, but he gives you your reward. Don't you have a beautiful wife? And you came from beautiful parents. And your children, oh, do you love your children? That's your reward. But what have you done outside of that that you did not have to do? Because you have an obligation. We all do. All of us that says that we are parents, one, being the father, the leader, the provider, the protector, and two, being the mother that had these children. You are all obligated. It's compulsory upon you to be able to take care of your family and raise your children. But it's not compulsory on you to give to your neighbor, to help those who cannot help themselves. Isn't that amazing that you don't understand that? And that is the blessings. We call it barakat, meaning that's the Arabic language that we use for zakat and charity. Whoa, when you give, then you are blessed. Why do you say that, Murad? I want people to give me. You know, I was traveling one day, and I kept saying, I give to so many people, but no one gives me anything. And I remember growing up, my mama didn't have too much money, but my mama will give you a birthday. Not me. I was too close to my oldest brother. What do I mean by that? His date was on the 14th of the month. No, I take that back. His date was on the 10th of the month. 4 days later, my birthday came, all in October. And my mother could only give one of us a birthday party in October. Who got it? My oldest brother. And I used to walk in the house and see everybody in the house, and he got so many gifts. Gifts was put on my mother's bed. And you go in the bed and you see all the gifts and all the clothes he received. And I said, my God, I would like to have that. Couldn't. My mother could not give me a birthday party. So I never had a birthday party. Am I upset with my mother? No, I'm not upset with my mother. And why I'm not upset with my mother? It's because she couldn't afford it. And that was my mother. And I loved her. So I didn't worry. Even though I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, no birthday for me. And so I used to go and shovel snow and sell newspaper. And then she taught me how to paint, how to lay linoleum. And I lived in the projects. And so I had a lot of clients. And I was able to make money. But I would come home and give my money to my mother. She needed it. And she would send me skating, 50 cents to get in, 50 cents for the skates, and 50 cents for candy, $1.50. I used to make $10, $12, $15, $20. I never said to my mother, where's my change? He only gave me $1.50. I never asked her for one nickel back. I was a giver. I loved giving to my mother, and she deserved it. And therefore, I was raised to give. But even though I was deprived because of monetary compensation, my mama didn't make that kind of money. She cleaned office while she went to school so she can open up her own business. And so we had to suffer. I suffered, not my two oldest, because my oldest sister, she was a mom, and she had to have all types of clothing. And my God, did she just get beautiful clothing. And she used to win, so she would get a lot of gifts. Oh, she used to get minks and TVs and things of that. And I remember when she got Pepsi Cola. She had so many cases of Pepsi Cola, we had to put it in everybody's room. And we drank Pepsi Cola. But you couldn't drink it unless you asked for it. See, in my mother's house, you had to ask for anything other than water. You can drink all the water you want, but you better not go in that refrigerator. You better not touch anything without her asking you to touch. Oh, yes, there was one more thing you can touch, bread pudding. Oh, I love that bread pudding. Everybody love that bread pudding, but I love that bread pudding. That was some good bread pudding, and I loved it. I loved to run to school with it, and the reason I really cared for it, because you could cut it when you wanted. I thought that was a treat until I grew up and found out it was just old bread. You know how you leave the ends? My mama used to toast it and break it up, and boy, did you have some good bread pudding with some raisins. So I felt that I've always wanted to give to my mother. And so therefore, I would go out and work and take on little jobs. I was too young. I hung with men that was 3 and 4 or 5 years older than me. They got the jobs at the car wash. They got the jobs in cleaning certain sewers and different things, and they were making good money back then. They wouldn't hire me because I looked like a little kid. Well, I guess so. You're 9 years old hanging with teenagers, and the teenagers got the job. So I had to create my own job. So I learned how to take bottles and take them to the store. You got 2 cents for the little bottle, 5 cents for the big bottle. Now, you may say that's nothing. That's 7 cents with a lot of money. You can buy a lot of penny candy with 7 cents. But I used to bring bags of bottles. This old Jew guy, he got angry with me because he didn't like the idea. I would put 5 big bottles up there and 6 little bottles up there. That was good money. He used to say, don't bring these bottles back unless you clean them. So I used to get my brother's red wagon. My grandmother used to send him all kinds of gifts and toys. She sent me and my little sister smaller than I, but she was like my twin. We dressed alike, walked alike, but I always would leave her to go out and find something to do. And so I used to go take the red wagon and fill it up with bottles because there was a Berry Biscuits and across the street. It was a park. So all of them used to go to the park, and the bottles, my God, it was all over. So I used to take them bottles and put them in the truck and pull the truck. And the guy told me I had to clean them out. Now I had to go up to the 8th floor, then rinse them out, put them back in the wagon and bring it down the elevator and take it down the street. It was a quarter mile away. So what did I do? I'll tell you what I did. I saved enough money and went into Sears and Robot. Do you remember Sears and Robot? Now you got to be in your 60s if you know about Sears and Robot. Robot was African-American. I don't know how he became a partner with Sears. But when Robot got kicked out, Sears went on by itself. And I brought this big wrench. My mama said, what are you doing with that wrench, boy? I said, oh, sometimes I have to take certain screws off. But she didn't go any further. What I would do is turn on the fire hydrant. And all that water would be kicking out, but I would clean my bottles. So I had to go up to the 8th floor. But I didn't know I was wasting water. It didn't come to my mind. I was only 9 years old. So I'd come in there. He couldn't complain, but he had to give me that money. You know what $1.50 was? $1.50 was a lot of money. You can buy a lot of candy, drink a lot of sodas, and anything else you want. But I used to share it with my friends because you go to the store and you get you a piece of pie, and they would say, hunkies. I still don't know what that word means, hunkies. but you know what it meant. They stick their finger up and say, honkies, and you got three friends. And then you had to put your finger there just to give them enough to bite, because if they bite your finger, you pull it back. But if you didn't, they would bite the whole thing. Yes, we have some aggressive friends. But you had to share it. So I used to have to share. I got tired of sharing. So when they went to the store with me, I said, okay, give me three. Two for my friends and one for myself. I wasn't a selfish individual. I gave to those who didn't have, especially my friends. And so I would go shovel snow with my uncle, and I would make $20. You know what $20 is to a nine-year-old? That's a lot of money. Where are you going, boy? I'm going home to my mom. I would run up the stairs and come in the door, and she said, what are you talking about? Look, Mom. No, I wasn't that little kid that said, look, Mom, no cavities. Nah, we didn't go to the dentist like that. But I said, look, Mom, look what I have, $20. She said, where you get that, boy? Where you get that money from? I said, I work. It's yours, Mother. This is your money. So she didn't ask me anymore. Oh, did I bring her everything? Whatever I had, it was hers. So my mama struggled. But I used to like going wherever my mother went. Oh, did I love that woman. I'd get dressed when I hear her getting dressed, and she would come out of that room and, where you going, boy? I said, I'm going with you. No, you can't go with me. I'm going with you, Mother. I'd go out in the hallway, and the elevator come, and she'd say, boy, you better take yourself back in the house. You cannot go with me. And I would do it every day. And finally, she said, okay, come on. And she stopped at the store, and she would get the crackers and the cheese and the peanut butter and the jelly. And then we'd get on the bus. Then we'd walk about 8 blocks to get to this office, and we would clean the office on Saturday. And I used to run when I was out in the floors of the office. I said, you ready, Mama? She said, not now, son. And I clean some more. You ready, Mama? She said, not now, son. And I clean some more. You ready, Mama? She said, okay. And she would go to the desk of one of the offices of the doctors. She would move things out the way on the desk. And she would put her peanut butter and her jelly and her cheese. And we would sit there and eat. Ah, oh, was I in seventh heaven. I had my mama by myself. That was the greatest moment ever. And she knew I loved it. All I would do is stand by the door. You going to work, Mama? Yes, I'm going to work. I'm going with you. And when she was going to school, I said, Mama, I'm going with you. She said, no, you're not. I said, why not? She said, because you can't come in the classroom. I said, I'll stand outside and wait for you. No, boy, you're not going to stand outside. So everything my mama did, I was up under her. But I used to do things that she told me not to do. And she would wear my tail. Boy, that 6'9" woman can hit. Now, I thought she was that tall. Now, I'll be frank with you. My mother's only 4'11". But I thought she was tall. She was taller than me. And she was strong. She would lock my head between those big legs and thighs that she had and lock me in and wear my tail. 2 seconds later, I'm back up on her. I guess she said, what is wrong with this kid? My mama could not do any wrong. I love my mama. She was a disciplinarian. She would throw that shoe and would hit you in your head before you get out that door. She was good. You said anything or said something under your breath, and she'd get you, you'd get that backhand. Now, she didn't hit my oldest brother. And the reason she didn't hit him, because he wouldn't do nothing but holler, ha, ha, ha. He'd beat him somewhere, ha, ha, ha. He'd laugh at him. He didn't care. Pain didn't mean nothing to him. She had to stop beating him. Because he just did not cry. But he didn't do nothing too wrong, because my mother didn't know what he was doing. And my sister was great. And my little sister, well, she was my partner in crime. I did everything wrong, and she wouldn't tell on me. That's the way I grew up. And the next door neighbor was our mama. There was no such thing as living home alone. Two beatings. You got smacked upside your head by Mr. Johnson or Mr. Brown or Mrs. Brown or Mrs. Johnson. And then you go home, and they tell your mama, and then that's your tale. So you get two beatings. So even though I lived in what they call poverty, and I lived in what they refer to as the ghetto, we had friends. We had none but some friends. We loved each other. We knew what everybody was doing because I was a paper man. Oh, did I get up early in the morning? My mama used to come to me 5 o'clock in the morning, and she would put my socks on and put my pants on halfway, and she'll hold me up, and you know, I'm sitting down, and she'll put my shirt on. Then she'll lay me back down, and then she'll tie my shoe, and then she said, okay. And then I get up, and she fix my bun. All right, go to work. And I go out there while it's still dark, and I deliver those papers. Oh, that I love knocking on the door, throwing papers up under the door. I got so good out of all those customers, 300 customers, I knew everybody's door. And know everybody's family. And then I'd go collect the money on the weekend. Paper boy! And they opened the door. I knew everybody's home. I knew who was who. I knew who was doing what. I knew who came in early in the morning, late at night. The paper man knows everything, but I was the paper boy. And so one day on Sunday, you know, you get a lot of papers. And I'm outside because the truck had come by and take all the leftovers. And I was sitting there just looking through it, and the boy car came out. Hey, boy, how much is that paper? I think it was a quarter back then. I gave him a quarter. And then another car, hey, boy, give me one of those papers. And I believe I created standing on the corner and selling newspapers. I didn't send my papers back. That was an extra $2, $3 to go with the $10 that you made. I just run home and tell my mother I got $14. Oh, this was something. That's my life, and that's who I was. I was a giver. Are you a giver? And so I was driving one day. Now I'm driving, got my own automobile, and I said, nobody's ever given me anything. I give everybody everything. And they have a saying, it's better to give than to receive. Better to give than to receive. Why did God say that? But it disturbed me because I couldn't figure it out. And then it finally came to me a year later. To give means you have it. To receive, you do not have it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the Prophet, he said, when you got your hands out, you're begging. It means you don't have it. And that one that puts something in your hand, that's the one you want to be. The giver. Because you don't want to be the receiver. So it's better to give than to receive, because if you got it, it means that God rewards you with it. Now that's the physical way of looking at it. How about knowledge? You go out and obtain knowledge. Now most of your degrees, scholars, yes, you go to school. If you're a school teacher, you give it back. But do you take that knowledge and come back into the ghetto, into the projects, to the downtrodden, and try to help them, to raise them up? Did you understand what giving means? It wasn't just money. You didn't have money. But did you give kindness? Did you give affection? Did you give understanding? Did you understand that that little kid named Marab Muhammad was a terrible kid in the sense of the word, that he would not bring good marks home? He brought nothing but F's home. Why? He didn't want to study. Because Malcolm X said the white man was a devil. And because he believed that, he wouldn't let him teach him. No, he didn't want to learn. Why? I ain't letting no devil teach me. You ain't in the seventh grade. What is your name, young man? My name is Rashid Shabbar. That ain't your name. Yes, it is. Fez and wore suits and wore a bow tie. Now, they wasn't mine. He was my oldest brother. Now, my oldest brother was much taller than I. Today, I'm 5'10". He's 6'1". So he was always taller than me. However, I would roll those pants up and tie it with a rope. And I would put that big shirt on, but you couldn't see it. But that big suit jacket that I would put on. And I would wear his face. And I would come to grammar school. And I would walk around and thought I was sharp. I'm Rashid Shabbat. Yes, assalamu alaikum. Well, we didn't say assalamu, we said assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Little white he says, just come to me and say, why you act like, why are you so evil? I didn't like them, so I wouldn't learn. So they wanted to send me to a special ed school because I wasn't bringing good marks home. And one day my mother said, listen, I want to show you something. And we downtown. And when you meet your mother downtown, you get cheeseburger and french fries and milkshake. You love eating mama downtown. And she would take us in pairs. The two oldest would come 1 month, and the two youngest would come the next month. But this time she took me to the store and showed me some drums. I used to play drums. Yes, I like drums. I like the beat. I like the drum and bugle part. I've always did, all my life. It just moves me. I like precision. Became a master in precision drumming. But my mama used to take me downtown, and she used to say, these are your drums. Those are my drums? Yes, if you bring me good marks. I brought her A's and B's. I was on the honor roll. So it wasn't that I was illiterate. You know, I was stubborn and didn't want to learn what they were teaching. My mama was so happy. But guess what? She could not get me those drums. I didn't get angry with her. Because my mama, I loved her. You don't get angry with your mother. How could you get angry with your mother that could have flushed you down the toilet? I didn't know how to say all that when I was young. But in my heart, I read it on my mama comes first. But the next cycle came, I brought home S again. So I guess that's the way I rebuilt. No, I didn't care. I had nothing to work for. And I finally made it to the eighth grade. And this black teacher said to me, young man, you're a handsome young man. My God, you're a handsome young man. Whoa. Did she win my heart? And she said, if you allow me to teach you, you can be everything you want to be. So I began to listen. Why? I found my mother. You see, when you leave your mother, you think nobody else cares for you. But now a teacher found out how to reach me. She said all kind things to me, and she was a specialist in mathematics. Everybody tell you, my mind is mathematically inclined. There's nothing I can't add or subtract or divide. And I can do it in my head from this teacher that taught me how to not carry that number to the other column. Just hold it in your head. And I began to learn and began to learn. And now I'm old enough to have an X. Oh, yes, I was too young to have an X. I finally got my X at 14. I lied and said I was 16. And you had to write exactly the way you saw your student enrollment or whatever it was that you had to get on your X with. I copied mine. First time I got it. You win. So I'm in the temple now. 15 years old, 14 years old in the temple, teaching you mathematics. They teaching you how to speak science. And, oh, I like that school. Why, it was a black man teaching me. And so I learned well. And I began to operate. And I remember on the bus with my mama. And she said, boy, what are you doing in this high school? I said, mama, they're not teaching me anything. She said, what do you mean? You're going into the next grade. I said, I'm not going into the next grade. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. She said, entrepreneur? Boy, you better get your education. I said, mama, they can't teach me. And I went out in the world. And I got married at the age of 16. Mama told me, don't get married. Find you a young sister when you graduate. I said, find me a young sister. I don't want no young woman. And I married a school teacher that woke up and realized that I was young. Now, she didn't know I was too young because I owned my own restaurant. Because when my brother left, I left with him. My mama cried. My sister cried because her best friend was walking out that door. And I went with my big brother because he kept going away to school. And I couldn't find him. And so I had to live without him. Now he's moving. I said, I'm coming with you. He said, come on. If he had not said, come on, I might not know what I know today. And I lived with five grown men. everyone 4 years or more older than me. But they ain't treat me like no little boy. They said, you got to get up and do something for yourself. After prayer at 5 a.m, you couldn't go back to bed. We had one brother. Everybody looked up to him. His name was Ahmed, Ahmed Mahani. And now Ahmed said to me that you have to go out there and make money. You got to pay your rent, $22.50. That was a lot of money back then, $22.50. I'm going to pay rent at 15 years old. He said, but you better learn. And I did learn. And it taught me. And I had to sell newspapers. I said, oh, man, take me to the temple. He said, you got gas? How much I need for gas? $2.50. No, you got to walk. That's how I became a crack soldier and selling newspapers. I had to walk from one part of the city to the opposite side. And I thought that was a waste of time. I can't make no money. So I decided that I'm going to make me some money. So I sold my newspaper. I became a crack soldier. And then I had to fly into Chicago and save my money and went. And I went to Chicago and all the brothers, Amnor, Tariq, Sadiq, Salik, and Tariq, all of them waiting. Musa, I had to wait till I come back and tell them what the Amalai's mama said. And I remember standing there and John Ali, the national secretary, all y'all crack soldiers, move to my right. Now about 5,000 of us that were standing there, one-third of us moved to his right. Are you in the army of Muhammad? Yes, sir. Are you soldiering for Muhammad? Yes, sir. Is God is great? Yes, sir. Allah is a God? Yes, sir. Are you crack soldiers? Yes, sir. You sell 156 newspapers every week? Yes, sir. Well, the quota now is 300. And we all holler, yes, sir. Yeah, we doubled it. And we became a man. Selling those papers every day, learning how to talk to people, how to knock on them doors and get someone to take the paper. If you were doing 300, you was a crack soldier. I was a crack soldier. But I wanted a wife. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to get married, to marry. Now today, we understand you're not complete unless you're married. But we didn't know half of your religion was marriage. And so I wanted a wife. And I was looking. Yes, I was looking. I had one sister, she was older than me. She was a private detective. And I would have married her. But her father did not want me in that house. Told me only one man dominates this house. There's no room for two, and you got to go. So my future wife told me, why don't you give up your religion? And he will accept you. All you got to do is become a Christian. I loved that woman, but I wasn't giving up my religion. So I had to look for another one. When I spotted this one, they all said, there's no way you're going to get her. Teacher, she was pretty. She had everything going for her. And I said, I like that when someone tells me I can't do what I know how to do. And make a long story short, I needed my mama, because in the state of New Jersey, you can't get married at 16. You got to be 18 years old. My mama had to sign. Mama didn't want to sign, but she remembered all the days that I was with her, all the time I've given her my money, and how I loved her, and how I could make my own decisions and go out and make my own money. She signed that piece of paper. It was the greatest thing I ever done. It gave me stability in life. It gave me stability in life. So I've been married ever since I was 16 and never, ever been unmarried. Now, that's another story. But the point is that you got to understand why you're here. And my success in life is to give back. So I'm here on this phone talking to the world, Blog Talk radio. I'm talking to the radio. What makes Blog Talk Radio such an asset? And because you can dial it wherever you go. You can be in Istanbul. You can be in Hawaii. You can be in China. You can be anywhere. Just get your phone and dial that phone, and you're on the line. That's what makes it successful. Because some radios don't tune in. But your phone is a communication center. And so, therefore, you can call it at any time. Now, some people call and ask questions. I don't like those questions. Because you got Satan. And Satan comes in, and here we're talking about how to elevate people, how they can elevate to another level, how they can evolve in their life. And you got some bird calling in and saying, well, how many wives did so-and-so have? And why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did this, and why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did that? You want to smack them. But you can't hit nobody over the radio. Sure can't hit nobody over the telephone. So I found now no one's interrupting me. So Juma is congregation. That's what it means, congregation. All of you out there, and there's millions because we went viral. So there's millions of people that are listening. So that's Juma. You can't interrupt Juma. Ask any man. You can't talk. Now, sometimes we say Allahu Akbar. Even that's wrong. You're supposed to listen, because can no one teach you if you don't listen? You ever been in the classroom? I know how to get out the classroom. Mr. Muhammad, can you stand up and tell this class this and that? I just hit somebody. What did you do that for? You out. I want to go out. You ain't going to embarrass me with all these pretty women around here. You ask me to tell you something I don't know. But what I mean is that you cannot interrupt the teacher. You have to be quiet. You have to listen so she can plant the seed, even when you was a little kid. When you was a child in kindergarten, that's just what it means, kindergarten. Someone plants the seed, like your parent, and someone has to kind it. It's called kindergarten. So they have to kind us, and they have to plant seeds, and so we can grow in life. So you can't interrupt me. Why are you interrupting me? You can't interrupt me. Matter of fact, if you don't like what I'm saying, hang the phone up. That's easy. But there's a whole lot of people is listening. See, you doubt Allah. What's for you, you will get. What isn't for you, you will not get. Now, you got a lot of understand. You got to understand a lot of people got their mind going elsewhere. Oh, it might be a good show on tonight. They're not going to listen. It might be a baseball game on tonight. They're not going to listen. How about a basketball game? They're not going to listen. How about you want to go and play a game? They're not going to listen. It ain't meant for them. Because if it was meant for them, they would be listening. You have to listen. Now everybody say, man, you sure can talk. But I listened to my mama. You couldn't talk when your mama was talking. Or you'd have got the backside of your head. I listened when my brother was talking to me. I listened with five men trying to tell me what to do. I listened to Minister James Shabazz. I listened to brothers that came amongst me as mentors. I listened when I heard Malcolm. I listened when I heard Farrakhan. I listened when I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I listened when I heard Muhammad Ali. I listened when I heard Dr. King. I know how to listen. And because I listen, now I can speak. I receive knowledge. And when I was receiving knowledge, I was listening. Now I got wisdom. And so now I give it back to you. That's the barakat. You give it back. You give it back to those who want to hear it. And you can speak for 2 hours, but that last minute might turn their whole life around. Or that first minute can turn their life around. Or those 2 hours can turn their life around. But if you attended, if you have good intentions, and you attend to be on this radio and talk to all the people out there in La La Land, meaning that if, in fact, you got good intentions, God will reward you. He will reward you as if you have turned them all around. Because nothing happens without the will of God. So God says to man, fast to who amongst you is the best in their deed. So the first one amongst you is the best one that's mindful of his deeds. What is your deed? Deeds mean death. When we was born, God gave us the highest intelligence, and some of us lost that intelligence to be born in the consciousness of knowing that God is great. I had consciousness, and I believed God was great while I was successful, but I didn't know how to serve God, and I didn't know how to be obedient to God. I wanted to learn how to give it back. So Imam wanted me, Muhammad, and I take pride in saying that, taught us how to pick up the Holy Quran that we put in a high place and left it on that shelf. And he told us to take that book down and begin to read it. And boy, we began to read. But he said to us, you will not get an understanding because God says if your heart is not right, all you're doing is reading. So I wanted my heart to be right. Some of us lost that consciousness. We became oppressed and we deviated from the way Allah wanted, not only to the people, but to our old men and women that they call seniors who understand themselves and have the consciousness to know who they are to be. We forget them. We let that wisdom die. Quran is revelation. The Quran is everything that the consciousness of your mind allows you to see everything that's pure and that's related to the word of God. You were able to see that because you are clean internally and externally. You should try it and look at your consciousness. And understand that the Lord that created you as a single soul, those who came in this world, man and woman, as one, he began to create us, man, from clay or dust. But it's wet clay, could be mold and shape. Now understand that. Because if you don't understand why you do what you do, it stands for nothing. Nothing. So I was a giver all my life. I can teach for now for 3 hours how much I gave. And I remember very distinctly because I read, show you how you can always learn. It says, do not disclose your generosity because you'll get one for one. But a brother corrected me. And he said, now if you read Barak, the Surah, such my recollection, Baccarat. If you read that, it will teach you it's okay to disclose your generosity, because if you do that, you can motivate men. That made sense. It fit my nature. See, sometimes our intellect can't pick it up, but your nature can pick it up. It didn't harm my nature when he said it. Remember, we begin our creation from clay. What is clay? The man that Allah has raised from earth, dirt, mud, and breathed into it some of his spirit, and we became male and female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what he was doing. He made us a khalifa. Khalifa from the earth. And that's your nature in which you should be in tune with. The human being has all the knowledge to be able to come together and build community for everyone that's involved. For every human being that wants to give back. You're supposed to build a community. And you will understand the material things that we learn. If you put God first, you will never fall victim to material substance. You will learn your nature and things that you have to be loyal to your Lord. Love what God loves. And hate what God hates. Oh, do God hates a hypocrite. Oh, do God hates you put gods before him. For God teaches us. Did you know that you're a student of God? He teaches the good things of this world. He teaches the excellence, morals that you're supposed to have. There's no group of people in a community that doesn't know God will not rise. Once up, you don't want to come back down. This is the Holy Quran. It's in the Bible. Yes, everybody knows that you come out of the earth. The sun comes out of the earth. The moon comes out of the earth. The stars, the rain. The trees, the flowers, all is a nexus to man's mind. It makes everything new. Allah! Allah! Put us in heaven and sent us to earth. And Satan said, Lord, that they are not worthy. Allah said, you can't change that human being that's obedient to me. Isn't that something? Allah told Satan he cannot trick and con that individual, meaning each and every one of us, that understand that we're obedient to God. Well, I feel that I'm one of those individuals. Because I walk every day and I see Satan test you. He'll test you with drugs. He would test you with women. He would test you in lying. He would test you in conning. He would test you with all the temptations of this world. But when you don't fear no one but Allah, you don't fear Satan. But Satan has no power. But Allah is the controller of the heavens and the earth and everything in between it, and you seek refuge in your Lord. I don't care if you Jew, Christian, you seek refuge in your Lord, the same Lord that's the Lord of all the worlds and the heavens and the earth and everything between it. There's only one God, for all your righteous people that choose to pray to God. We say, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable, noble servant and messenger of God. And what follows that salute and that translation of that salutation to the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the prophet as mentioned in the Bible that we refer to as the Injil, as is given in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah, the Rahman, the Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa'asuli kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqallah radeem. We love using these words with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We go to bed saying with God's name, Bismillah. You don't need no more. We wake up saying, Bismillah. You don't need no more. You take a step, Bismillah. Before you eat your food, Bismillah. Before you go out the door, Bismillah. You get in your automobile, Bismillah. Before you make love to your wife, Bismillah. Rahman Rahim. Thank you, Allah, for giving me a blessing so I can be able to operate in this world, in this society. Allah is first in your life. Everything comes second. Allah is last in your life. Everything comes after Allah. He comes first, so he's the beginning and the end. And then when you put them together, you understand he's also what's in between. So if you do everything by saying Bismillah, you're at your right state of mind. Let's look at it. You're getting ready to smoke some reefer. Do you say Bismillah? I don't think so. You're getting ready to do some drugs. Do you say Bismillah? I don't think so. You're getting ready to drink some alcohol. Do you say Bismillah? I don't think so. You're getting ready to have sex with that female, and she's not your wife. Did you say Bismillah? I don't think so. You're getting ready to rob somebody. Do you say Bismillah? I don't think so. You're getting ready to shoot somebody. Do you say Bismillah? Brother and sister, you don't ever use God's name when you do something wrong. You ever thought of why? Because you got two angels on your shoulder. And you got a nature that is the will of God. You know you're wrong, so you ain't trying to be right. Something in your nature tells you, look out, you might get caught. So you turn all the lights out and you make love to this female because you don't want to see her in the light. Your nature is saying something is wrong with that. Why, sister, you lay down to that with that man. And you know you only did it because you had to get yours off. But then you come back home and your nature is saying you know you was wrong. So you're in the shower a long time. You might even take a bath because you want to get the dirt off of you. You don't feel like you did well by yourself to let somebody abuse you and mistreat you all for the sake of the climax. But then you want to turn that around. So he comes back in, you say, no, I can't do this anymore. What do you mean you can't do this anymore? You told me that I made you feel good. Yes, but you're not my husband. And I want to be obedient to my Lord. Whoa. Allah rewards you. Because even though you fell, you got back up. It's like getting ready to have sex with a female. And you know she ain't your wife. And she looked you right in the eye, brother, and said, lay me if you love me. Don't lay me if you don't love me. Your nature alone would tell you to walk away from that. Just those words. That's your nature. That sure ain't your desire. That sure ain't your intellect. You see how pure the nature is? But you kill it with drugs. You kill it with evil. You kill it with no morals. You have nothing to come back on. There's nobody talking to you anymore because the angel on the right to shut down. He turns a deaf ear. He won't tell you right for wrong. So you're on your own. You dig in a hole in the grave while you become a dead man walking. Something got to wake you up, but it's not going away. Because that angel on the left is writing everything. You think you hide. You're not hiding. Brothers and sisters, you got to wake up and understand you do good for the sake of Allah. This is a temporary world. You didn't know this was a temporary world? Well, you just learned it on Blog Talk Radio. New Africa, excellent enterprise. Allah speaks. So we are talking to you, and we are trying to enlighten you so you can go on in the world and be a better person. So you got to understand, today is a blessing. Today is a blessing. Why? You're alive. You got time to be able to allow Allah to teach you. What class do you guys go to? Go get the Holy Quran and read it. Read your Bible, but you won't understand it because all the years you've been in the Bible, you still don't understand it. So why don't you try the Quran? Seek for truth, then you'll meet God. If you don't seek for truth, you won't meet God. That's what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You can learn all the theology and the science. Without God, you got nothing, nothing whatsoever. For he is the will. He wills whether you're going to believe or whether you're not. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we got to understand that we have guidance. And in the Quran, in that book, you have guidance. Surely without doubt, to those who fear God. Yes, that's Baccarat, the heifer. They would tell you that. This is the book, and it is guidance. And surely without doubt, to those who fear Allah, to believe in the unseen, and steadfast in your prayer, and spend out of what we have provided for you. And then who believes in revelation. And to those who seeks before their time. And in their heaven, having known the sureness of the hereafter. You got to have heaven while you live. They are on true guidance from thy Lord. It's those who will prosper. You will not seek wrong and think you're going to see God. You're not going to have new morals and think you're going to see God. None of that will come to you. You have to wake up and realize that something is wrong because you're in the same place you was before. The Holy Quran, Allah loves those who are grateful. Are you grateful? Are you grateful? Always look at it. Your mother went 9 months, 9 months to carry you, 9 months of aches and pains, 9 months having to crave for things that she normally didn't crave for, 9 months gurgitating, 9 months with cramps, 9 months out of shape, bumps on her face, don't look attractive to nobody. And then she gets on the operation table and the doctor tells her, push. And she pushes. Push. And she pushes. Push. And it hurts. And it's painful. Her child is born. Keep in mind, she could have died. Because when you give life, you take life. Something dies. Well, her heart stopped beating. So Allah saw that she deserves to come back. Are you grateful? For Allah loves those who are grateful. That man that planted that seed, that's your daddy. And when he planted that seed, his heart stopped beating. So Allah could have removed him, but he didn't. But the woman holds you. You don't have to go to the store and drink man's milk. The milk is right there. You suck the breast. The food is right there. You're on your own now. You have to breathe on your own. You have to swallow on your own. You got to go to the bathroom on your own. You have to know how to crawl and then walk. And one day you'll be running. And she was there when you were sick. She nursed you back to health. She holds you when you cried. She rocked you. She lay your head next to her heart. And you can hear the heartbeat when you was in paradise in her womb. She dressed you when you need to be dressed. She undressed you. She changed your diaper. She cleaned you up when you was dirty. She caught you when you stumble and fall. She carried you when you couldn't walk anymore. Are you grateful? Are you grateful? Because Allah says in the Holy Quran, Allah loves those who are grateful. But you get up and you talk back at your mother. And you grow up and you try to control your mother. And you know what disturbs me, brothers and sisters? All this I'm saying is in Revelation. So you can see it in Scripture. You don't have to read the Quran to know right from wrong. The Bible will tell you, but you ignore it. I'm saying to you, you have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a punishment and a mercy. And the mercy is to those who call on him. And he will forgive you. Yes, he will. He will forgive you. If you would just beg him, if you beg him for forgiveness, he will give it to you. But if you do wrong and you don't beg God, you're on your own. And it's going to be hell you trying to come back into the natural way that God wants you to be. Now I know you feel that you read the Quran and you're not going to get anything out of it. No, once again, it's called good intention. You have to be conscious. Most of us is not conscious. But it doesn't make you a bad person. No. You got to understand the truth. And you got to understand you have to have knowledge. And you got to understand that if you say you're in Islam, there's a society. In this society, you have to come together and be fruitful and be knowledgeable. And you got to understand from where you came from, the fruit of good comes from Allah. Evil comes from you. You can't give that to God. That's in the Bible. And that's in the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, you may hear us talk about the Bible. There's a lot of good things in the Bible. It's just that I don't stay in the Bible because Satan's all in there. Yes. Do he trick us in the Quran? Yeah, he writes one like it. He can duplicate anything that God duplicates. But he cannot ever make you think that is reality. It's a con, it's a trick. He'll fake you out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his human beings. He loves the good things. Creation is all for you and I. But he created his creation for his true obedient servant. He wants us to be obedient so we can benefit. That's what he designed. He designed you to be obedient to the signs. You will be fruitful. You will multiply if you knew Allah's signs. He created man and jinn to worship him. Oh, you didn't know he created the jinn? Yes, the jinn wasn't no bad person when he created. Allah don't create nothing bad. Just like you was created to be good. You chose to be bad. And the jinn got that right to chose to be bad. Yes. So let's get it straight. You have to read Jesus, my Christians. You know, in the New Testament, they try to change the word of God and alter it. But the Old Testament will teach you what it really says. And not to say that Satan didn't get in that. Yes, he did. But most of the things in the Bible, Allah didn't change because they was good. Allah commanded us to be upright and to communicate with one another. We don't communicate. Everything in creation is given to his servant. But you got to work for it. We got to work. If we don't work, you're not going to get it. You know how you go to work and some of us put in overtime and you wonder why? They get paid more? Well, it's overtime. You have to change. You can't be in the winter wearing summer clothes. You have to change. And you can't be in the summer clothes in the wintertime. So even the four seasons show us that we have to be able to know how to change. You can't be one way all the time. Make that way very sophisticated. You hear the same song over and over and over. You get tired of it. But the artists go out and sing new songs. And because he sung or she sung new song, you like that artist. You don't even talk about the song no more. Oh, that's Whitney Houston. Yes. So Allah's created the human being to be an asset and to give back. And if you give back, then you will be rewarded for your good deeds in this world and the hereafter. You see what's going on today? And we don't understand it. if you go and study, you'll find out that they got Wi-Fi. You got Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi, I think it's called Wi-Fi, in your home. Well, they knew this way in the 60s. This was going to affect your brain. It's going to affect the nature in which you created. And I do know that a lot of this stuff is created by Satan, like the microwave. We still use it. It burns our food, takes all the taste out of it. But that stuff is going through your system. We don't care. And then we wonder why all of a sudden people die and all of a sudden people get sick. They don't care. You don't have nobody in you anymore. They got this stuff all around us. They got high. They tell them, don't even put these towers over top of your house so white folks don't get it in theirs, but they put it in our schools. And it's affecting the brain of our children, but we don't care because we don't study. There's so much happening that if you talk about it, you scare everybody. But I say, do the best you can. Serve your Lord. Trust in your Lord. And ask your Lord to bless you to see the things that you need to see. And he'll give it to you. Like Satan. Satan ain't going nowhere. He's here to trick you. But if you don't know Satan's schemes, if you don't know his schemes, how are you going to be able to get past him? So you got to study his schemes. Allah will let you see it. Yeah, I can see him coming before he comes. I ignore him. I avoid him. I ain't trying to learn what he know. God created the human being, brothers and sisters, above the angels. Did you know that? That the human being was created in the excellence of the nature in which he has made us free? He's a just God. The angels do not have freedom. They have a job. And they have to serve Allah. The angels wait for God to give them an order. They don't judge what he say. Allah tells them what to do, and that's his will. And the angels accept. We human beings do not say we make any judgment, but we're given the right to make a judgment. We don't judge on sending people to jail. That's not our duties. Is if a person is innocent and you know it, you don't want to send them to jail. The angels are not like the human being because the angels not test by sex or appetite or test by desire or tested by symbols or tested by any kind of mental breakdown. Their intelligence only does what God asks them to do. So they're limited. We have unlimited ability to do what we think is the right to do. And that's why Satan don't think we should have such a gift. But God knows that when you're in your right state of mind, you will make the right decision. So when we think five times before we act, we trust in Allah. And we don't give it no thought that Allah is in charge. And so that's why we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because we believe that God's going to guide us and going to protect us. Now, you got to do your job. Don't go run down into a place that's shooting and think God's going to protect you. You should never been there. Go the opposite way. You can't help nobody shooting, but you can call someone to come and help that can stop this shooting And most of them got bulletproof vests on. You don't have a bulletproof vest, so what are you doing running up in there? That makes a whole lot of sense to me. So today you got men that's being surveilled so they can see what goes on in your house, and then they take what you do in your house and hold it against you. Oh, man. So now they got you. God is the best knower. He knows how to manage his creation. He has no partners. He has no associates. So, of course, managing his creation, he can manage our affairs. And that's why we have to turn to him, because he's the only one that can guide you. Don't that make sense? We should love God because he loves us. Because if you don't, you hit it for pain and destruction. Allah knows when he gives you enough pain, because he don't put a burden on the soul that it can't withstand. So I trust him. He gave me this, I got to handle it. That's how you got to see life. This is how you have to see life. You got to understand you was created for the mission. You have to speak to your own heart. You got to speak to your own soul. And your heart will never, ever go against God. That's what makes the heart a viable organ. It puts blood to the entire organs of the human being. Yes, God gives that to the heart. Where you been? But we don't want to listen to the heart. You love your husband, but you tell him to get out. And now you feel sad about what you told your husband because you didn't mean it. But you uttered those words. Yes, Muhammad the prophet says, take charge of that five, before that five take over you, and you become a victim. Five what? Your five senses. Don't let nobody take those five senses away from you, brother and sister. That was common. Give it to you in the womb of your mother, and you have to use it. You know what's wrong. You know what's right. You worry about the whispering. You know, when people come and whisper in your ear and tell you what to do and how to do it, and never had nothing, never had a husband. If they did, they had it for a few years, and then they haven't had it. You have to find one with continuity, one with ability, one that understand what Allah means when he said that he had created the Khalifa in the world. And maybe then you can understand that you speak with someone with wisdom, you speak to someone with success, you speak with someone that has continuity and will be obedient to his Lord or to her Lord. And he can tell you the mercy and why Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't want you to fall. And if you fall, you should fall towards the goal, and it'll be a short distance when you get up. Yes, you got to work for everything. That's what you got to do. You got to work for everything. If you don't work for it, you're not going to get it. You have to go to work. Come ye old workers, Allah says. Come ye old workers. And so, order for you to work, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will bless you. But you got to work. You have to get it. Because if you don't get up and get it, nobody's bringing it to you. I like to work because it feels good. You ever exercise and train and then go out and compete and win? Don't that is a satisfaction unbelievable? Or the same way when you study the Word of God. Oh, you study it and you put in a lot of time, but then you see progress.
We thank Allah. We thank him for our presence today and for our own light. Yes, and our health. And we pray that we will always, always be with him and ask him for our guidance and our forgiveness and his mercy. Have mercy upon us for our endeavors to want to be all that we can be to be able to help one another. Yes, we do ask for that. Brothers and sisters out there in radio land, I know you're upset with Donald Trump. And you got to give it some time. What's going to be is going to be. But the only time you can hurt anybody is hurting them in their pockets. They'd rather for you to take them to court. They'd rather for you to let them hide. They don't know where he's at. You haven't done anything. But you got to find men that's real men and women that's real women. Put them together and y'all can conquer anything. That's the way I see life. I see life, we have to go and get it. We talk about Allah saying, come ye, O workers, and welcome to paradise. That's beautiful. Allah asks you to come. But you don't want to come. And when you decide to come, now it's too late. It should never, ever be too late to be able to be loved by your Lord. And inshallah, we can make it if we try. I want to leave you with this, because you ought to know it. When you hear Donald Trump say all the Muslims need to be sent back home, you shouldn't feel upset about that, because that's not going to happen. Oh, he's going to inconvenience you, but don't give up. America is your home. You were sent here for a reason, but you have to find out what that reason is. I have a few brothers that came from foreign countries, but they getting ready to do something so wonderful that I thank Allah that they think that way, because they should be worried about Donald Trump. Oh, no. When you do things right, you don't have to worry about anyone. I remember a very close person to me told me, don't ever come behind these walls. There's nothing behind these walls. Now, you see, if you did any harm to my family, loved one, then I'd go behind the walls, because you got just what you deserve to get. And I can do my time, and I pretty much would get my PhD and learn things that I got no other time to do. But to go behind the wall for something stupid and outrageous, I don't think I could live. That I did that stupid move. I ain't doing nothing in this day and time, stupid. I ain't marrying no woman that makes me look stupid. She'll be the finest thing around, but she just can't give you no life and no motivation. She got problems, she got issues. Who wants that? Who wants that in this day and time? There's too many problems. But I keep telling you, and I'm going to reiterate, this is a temporary world. What part do you not understand? You are being tried in this world, but you fell victim. You believe this world is everything, so you sell heaven for this world. No, brothers and sisters. I ain't say live like a peasant. You ain't going to find nothing nothing whatsoever in the Holy Quran that told you to live like a peasant. No, you're supposed to obtain anything that's good. If you come on a radio show and you own the radio show and all of a sudden you made $1 billion talking to the people, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, look what you took nothing and made it something, and Allah rewards you for your good. And so you have to pick up and understand what Allah is saying to us. Of course, He asks us to read, and we are not reading. And He asks us to stand upright, but we ain't standing upright. He asks us to come and give Him the greatest, give Him the reward, give Him the credit for everything you do that's good. Allah asks us to do that. Well, we had a problem. We wanted to think it was us. It wasn't you. You can't get out of that bed. You can't even wake up. Matter of fact, you can choke on what you swallow. But Allah got you. He got you when you didn't know. And He helped us. Look what He did for our ancestors. May Allah be pleased with them and grant them paradise. Because they deserve it. They deserve to have paradise. The hell they went through. You know, they say that in the Bible, the baby Jesus came out speaking baby language. And that's what He meant. See, when you're young, you come out speaking baby language. And I tell these imams all the time, why you put him up on the most important day, Friday, and have him, us listening to him, and you always make a mistake. Why? On the job learning. So you don't give these people that need help and need a surgeon and you send them a foot doctor. It's not going to work. But they can't see it. They don't want to see it. But we are trying our utmost to be able to create entertainment and recreation for our children. That's my dream. And teach them how to go to school while they're working. Yes, you'll find a whole lot of A's in that. You'll find a whole lot of people that got a genius work. I say, may Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us that which we need. And the only way we're going to get that is obedient to God. So we want to be guided, Allah, and we want Allah to bring our consciousness back to that which He has created us to be, alhamdulillah. That's what you want, that's what I should want, and the only way to do that, we must come together. And that is the problem. Unity, brothers and sisters, unity is everything. If we was unified, we wouldn't have to worry about anything. It's no problem. We need $100 million. We can do it in 1 month. Too many of us for us not to be able to do it, but we can do it. The problem is you don't believe it, so you won't join it. But let's do it. There's nobody around that's tough enough and crazy enough to steal from us. So he come in and collects the money. That's all you got to do. You know, I'm becoming very close to my Jewish brothers. Everything that the Holy Quran says, that we are one, we are one Ummah. And I got some very powerful Jewish brothers, and they talk like, where you been? And I say, where you been? But they say that they've been waiting on us. Isn't that amazing? Waiting on us. And because they're waiting on us, we're able to do business on a major level. Why? Because that's what they used to do. You got to understand, when the paganism, before they became Christians, they believed in idol gods. The Jews were there. But yet they was pagans before the Arabs became Muslim, they was burying little girls, thought they was cursed. So the Jews had the knowledge. They just kept it to themselves. And today's Jews that really mean something, those are the ones you'll find out you can be successful with. So I thank Allah for that. And I pretty much got a good idea who's a crook, who isn't. And you got to be careful because you got all these informers. Now, if you ain't doing nothing, don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. But if, in fact, you do not watch who you talking to and who you with, and don't take for granted that most of these imams are working for them. So, don't get upset what you see around you. That is Satan's world. That's what the imam told me. Stay in paradise. Love your wife, love your children, love your parents, love your siblings. Stay in paradise, sisters and brothers. Forget what's outside. You want to see a lot of people dying, a lot of things going to be said, but do not just think about yourself. Think about your neighbor. Think about your parents. How could you come home and open up your parents' refrigerator and find out they have nothing in there? Well, all you got to do is look in the refrigerator on the first, and you can see all the things she likes. Well, duplicate it, fool. You ain't going to ask her anything. Just bring it. I'm guaranteed she ain't going to tell you to take it back. Guaranteed. So you got to be able to understand that you have a job here on this earth, and Allah's only going to reward you for that which you've done good. Children, this is amazing. Allah has sent the angels to give it to you. Just think about this. There is a place in the Mid-South. It's a group of people, and they have the law in their hand. If you fight them, you're going to lose. So you drive up. You pull over to the side. They go to the car. What did you stop me for, sir? Was I speed? No. Is one of my lights out? No. Did you run my plates and something wrong? No. What were you stopped for? How much money you got? How much money you have? Yeah, how much money you got? Say, I got money to go on my vacation. I'll be in this city and well, how much money you got? And don't lie to me. How much money you got? You got about $1,400. He said, give it to me. Give you my money? Yes. Give me your money. Or we're going to lock you up. So he hands him his money. He puts it in his pocket. He said, okay, have a nice day. What are you going to do with my money? He said, this is drug money. This is no drug money. He said, hey, go to the courts and see if you get it back. But we can confiscate all drug money. Just like that. They just took your money. And they found out this is such a secret that they have collected in 1 year hundreds of millions of dollars. It's about 20 different cities that's able to do this. You think your senators don't know this? They know this, but they ain't going to tell you because they got something on the senators. This is all over the country. Certain areas that you go in, they can take your money. Here come another one. You pull over. Sir, where are you stopping? Was I speeding? No. Something wrong with my car? No. How about my license plate? No. What are you stopping me for? Give me your money. I don't have no money. You got credit cards? Yes. Let me see him. He sure got four or five. He snaps all five of them. What are you going to do this? I think this is drug money. You want it, you come and get it from the precinct. Before you know it, whatever's on them cards, they have taken your money out of the bank. Now, I'm not fabricating. This is going on in America. You can't even drive with your credit cards nor your money or they will take it. Now, I'm quite sure some people fought and got it back. But most people are dirty. They change their name so they don't want to go into court. Their credit cards are probably old people or something's wrong with that. 9 out of 10, you got some kind of a problem. Because when you hear the police coming, the first thing you go in your mind, you look in your rear mirror. They're coming after me. And they can ride past you because you're afraid of the officer who you pay taxes for. But when you clean, you don't care about no cop coming. Matter of fact, you don't even look in the rear mirror. He's behind you almost for 5 minutes, and you finally say, oh, the cop's doing behind me. Well, that's one that you ain't taking anything from me. I'm too powerful for that. Now, you can shoot me, and you can kill me, but I haven't done nothing wrong, so I trust in Allah. And then when they find you are, they say, oh, you go ahead. They don't want no trouble. But the average person is not giving any trouble. Yes, this is what they literally doing. Do you know they locking up your children who are scared? I mean, they in jail and they scared. And guess what? They sex them. And you cannot prove that you was raped. Not there. You may have to go back home where you come from. By that time, they'll clean up everything. Now, if you think something wrong with that, how about the young lady that got pulled over, had a lot of mouth. She was a school teacher. She went to jail. And then they said she hung herself. She didn't hang herself. There's no movement. There's no unity. There's no group of people trying to find out these things that's happening to our citizens, to your brothers and sisters, your cousins. And don't let a Muslim get caught like that. The most of the Muslims would say, yeah, he was doing something wrong. I mean, this is so out of place. You think Allah doesn't know that you're all messed up? You claim you got out of Islam, but you're robbing the people. You're doing nothing for the people. You ain't qualified to be in the position you are in. So they don't respect you. They even send informers in. Now, one thing you can't do is play with this religion. You can't con. You can't read and take a full course, a crash course of Islam and then walk amongst us and become an imam. Oh, yes, you can. You pay this one, you pay that one, and you up there, and before you know it, you the imam. And you ain't been around for 2 years. How about 3 years? You cannot fake this if you're right. But if you're getting paid off, and who paid, how did he get there? Well, go to Brother So-and-so and find out how much money he took. How can someone sneak up and take your masjid from you in the name of they was Muslim? How could that happen? There's no repercussion. But then the man that allowed them to do it and knew they was doing it, he gets caught and all y'all say, oh, he knew not what he was doing, so we'll forgive him. Yeah, go back to Christianity. That's what y'all need to do, because in Christianity, they walk past shame. They know she's an alcoholic, but they ain't telling. They know she's selling her body, but they're not telling. They know that those five women are screwing the preacher, but they're not going to say nothing. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That's not Islam. Islam is, it is what it is, and you, who you say you are, you got to prove it. Not here. You don't have to prove nothing. Matter of fact, become the imam, and you're the businessman, you're the buyer, you're the creator, you are the boss, you are the teacher, you're everything. And you heard that saying, there's a saying, jack of trades, but you don't know a damn thing. You know what I'm talking about. Well, that's what's going on. And if you don't wake up, you're not going to be successful. Brothers and sisters, we was blessed with Imam Waluddin Muhammad. Allah gave him that blessing. His father knew that he had to study that, but it wasn't until he was almost ready to leave this world. And that's when he said, my son got it. So Imam Waluddin Muhammad was gifted, and he gave it to us. We only want to keep his name alive. We're talking about black history. Where do you see anything taught by Imam Waluddin Muhammad? They gave it to his student, Malcolm, but they don't want to tell you about Elijah because most of you don't want it to be told about Elijah. I heard men, cowards. I heard a bunch of sissies say, well, if you found Elijah, you practice shirk. And I don't want to be connected with shirk, and that's the one that can't get off the ground. We don't went from being entrepreneurs to salesmen. We stand on the corner, stand in front of masjid, and we sell things. That's what we do. We sell things. That's all we know now. We don't know nothing else but be a salesman and peddle. That's what they call them, peddle. That's what they do. You ever go in the countries, in the foreign countries, they knocking on your window 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. You want to buy this? You want to buy this? What do you sell? I'm selling potato chips. What do you sell? I'm selling lights. What do you sell? I'm selling this. I'm selling that. I'm selling that. I don't blame them because they're in a third world country trying to make a nickel. A nickel will get them some food. What are we doing? You got men on a corner selling tapes and incense and things. They don't want nothing else. They don't want, they can't, with all this knowledge, they can't create anything. They can't create anything. Now, somebody need to wake them up. Why are you not using your intelligence? And now we got a new thing now. We've never been, because if we were part of the system, we could have helped ourselves maybe a long time ago. But now that we all, we're part of the system. What is the system? You go get your apartment for $100. You get a check every week for maybe a grand. And so that's all. You're happy. You got it. That's all you want. And so you live in these buildings and these very different places because you don't want to do nothing no more. That ain't the fathers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we all owned our own homes. We all had our own business. We all made our own money. Oh, we was doing it. But then you said we practiced shirt. Now you're not practicing shirt. And guess what? You ain't got no shirt. You got somebody else's shirt. You can't even buy nothing for yourself. You get married and give someone a popcorn, they call it a Cracker Jack ring. You see, and then you bring the crown, and then most of you ain't got no teeth in your mouth, and then you want to marry this sister. Well, sisters just say, you ain't got no teeth. If you don't care nothing about yourself, you don't care nothing about me. Ain't no man that loves himself that's going to walk around with no teeth in his mouth. But amen, don't bring me. I don't care what you say he used to do. What is he doing now? And that's why these sisters won't get married. But I'm saying to you, sisters, Allah's earth is spacious. You're not going to get no husband laying up in the house. You got to go out, travel. You might find him in a different city, but he's out there. But if you don't go nowhere, you ain't going to meet nobody. And believe me, he's going to see you. You might have saw him before you saw him, or he saw you, but you get up under him. And then you know you got your husband. And you say, Alhamdulillah. But don't leave him for no petty stuff. But if he ain't no good, get rid of the bird. Get rid of the bird and get you another husband. All the way to your grave. You find you a man that you can be with and talk with. It ain't all about sex. Everybody that sex me, they need to play a Marvin Gaye, a sex machine. You need a sex machine. You want this and you want that when you want it. And you look in the mirror and think you all that in a bag of chips. Like somebody you can sex, and he's going to be all, he's going to feel good. You don't do nothing. So you can't even arise. Every senior needs somebody. And you wonder why they chasing young girls. Because at least the young girl is still sexy, and she's going to wear nice things. And she gonna, they don't, you know, woman don't want to do nothing no more. And then blame the man. You can't do this, and you can't do that. Yeah, I hear. Tell me all the time. I feel sorry for him. I want to tell him, get rid of her. Get another one. And you might find the one. Because a man and a woman that's in their right state of mind don't marry on sex. But see, I was taught when I used to come home and tell my wife when I was a youngster, I said, this brother's complaining that he don't know how to sex his wife says. And my wife said, she's a liar. Every woman know how to beat sex. She know herself better than anybody. He just don't talk to her. I said, well, what about the man? You got men talking about my wife don't do this. That's because she don't want her. She doesn't want her. She know what she's doing. And that's why there's no such thing that two grown people that grew in the world don't know how to take care of one another. I said, that makes a lot of sense. But if, in fact, if you basing everything on sex, you're not going to get anything. Hell, you're just going to the movie. A woman can't. Some women are ill. But you don't like her? I'm telling you right now. If I knew a sister with a beautiful mind, but she can't make love to me, I would take her for her beautiful mind. I would treat her like a husband because she's such a beautiful person and got a lot to offer. You see, if she had AIDS, I can't do certain things. Well, I don't want AIDS, but there's things I can do, but I can treat her like a human being. I can help her and make sure that she don't want to stop living. Just like a little girl, you take her off the street. She's only 8, 9 years old. You want to send her to school and make her some. These are the awards that you get. Are you grateful in that which God has given you? Or you're not grateful that you can see, you can walk, you can talk? Are you grateful? Thank Allah that you have what you have. Do you thank Allah that you made 60, you made 70, you made 80, and you're in good health? Are you grateful? Are you ungrateful? You ever ask yourself a question? You should question yourself. And you should ask yourself, are you obedient to God or you of this world? Because you ain't going to get in heaven for all that you do that you don't have to do. That's the sunnah. What is the sunnah? Resume your responsibility. Anything you don't have to do is a sunnah. Did you get it? Oh, you don't want, they ain't teaching you that. What a sunnah is. Love what Allah loves. Hate what Allah hates. Do you understand that or you don't understand that? I told you the Quran is the guidance, surely without doubt, to those who fear Allah. You don't fear Allah. You don't fear Allah. And because you don't fear Allah, you think you're just supposed to wake up every day. Sometimes you leave the country or you get on the boat and you go do your thing. And then you set for the whole year. And you get everybody hell until next year. That's where you live? Well, it's going to come back to you because Allah is going to charge you for all that you have done that you didn't clean up while you was alive. Because you clean all that up, all you got to do is be obedient to Allah. All you got to do is serve your Lord. All you got to do is practice the sunnah. Assume your own responsibility. Ask Allah to help you and guide you and protect you and allow you to want to give back. Because if you don't give back, brothers and sisters, you will die in this world. You will die a death. Allah says you must die before you live. Die what? Die of being unmoral. Die of being not considerate. Die for being egotistic. Die to be selfish. Die that doesn't even know how to please your husband. Die. Go ahead and die. Because you're dying. Some of you are dead and you can't reborn you. You're just dead. You don't want to take your husband's plate off the table. Well, don't do it for him. Do it for the sunnah. Assume your responsibility to Allah, not to him. I don't have to do this, man. I do it because I love my Lord and I want rewards for my Lord. I don't have to run your bath. Pleases you, then it pleases my Lord. And I do it for the sake of Lord, not because you the Lord. You're not the Lord. But I know Allah can see me. I can see him. I act like I can, but I know I can't. But my God, do he see me. So I want to be recorded as what I was created to do. I'm not going to holler at you. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm going to assume my responsibility because you got to go out there and handle that world. Ah, look at the reward she receives. Then you wonder why that she got everything. Then you know why the woman man comes back, because she knows her husband. She knows how to make him feel like he's in seventh heaven. So where did I put her? In seventh heaven. It makes sense? I know it doesn't make sense to y'all who have taken on this world and let Satan mess your whole life up. Satan said, I don't follow her. Why, Iblis? I got her. Why would I follow her? I'm trying to find that woman that loves her husband. I'm trying to fill that woman who wants to please her husband. I'm trying to find that woman that doesn't give him no trouble. How you going to do that, Iblis? Don't worry. I'll send something to her that she don't like. What is that? Let another woman come in that house. Oh, buddy. That angel just turned devil, didn't she? She's throwing knives at you, throwing hammers at you, cursing you out. But she was so beautiful. Not now. Jealousy destroys within. How could you be jealous? Now, even a little girl, a young girl could get jealous. Nah, take that back. Because a young girl don't know this world. So Allah has blessed her with so much innocence. The jealousy come in when you're 40, 50, 60. It don't become 70. Oh, my God. You jealous of everything and got nothing. That's the killing part about it. That's you by yourself, you got nothing. Or what do can't leave nothing behind. Yeah, you can leave some money behind if you die. You got to die and go in the ground, and then maybe your children can say, oh, I got something. Well, what the hell do it mean if you don't have your mama, if you don't have your father, if you don't have your husband? It doesn't mean nothing. So you're looking to die. So you want to leave money behind, and they may take the money and use it on things you wish they had never did if you was here. Oh, you all messed up. But inshallah, hopefully this broadcast can make you beg Allah for forgiveness and change your life before you die. Because keep in mind, good intentions. Good intentions. If you intended to do well, Allah will reward you as if you have done it, even if you will die tomorrow, next week. You die with good intentions. I thank you for listening to me, and hopefully I didn't hurt you or step on your toes. That's not my point. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I ask you to forgive me if I did so. But I love you more than you love yourself, because I know what's wrong and what's right. You may not listen to me because you know me too close. And if, in fact, I said something wrong or split a verb, I'm human, but you got the point. But if I said something and allowed you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, and come back to your outfitter, the nature in which God created, and your consciousness, your taqwa, if you come back to the consciousness to be obedient to God, he will give you his angels. Don't give that credit to me. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you from all the prophets, from our father Adam to Noah to Moses to Jesus to Abraham to Muhammad, the prophet, the seal of the prophet. I greet you from the Arabic language, the words of Allah in the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.